It's Wednesday, July 9th, 2014, and you're listening to episode 345 of Fear the Boot, a show about tabletop role-playing games and a little bit more. Running time for this episode is 44 minutes. Welcome to Fear the Boot. My name is Dan.
This is Wayne.
My name's Chad.
And my name is Pat. See? You're supposed to do the sound check earlier.
Well, none of you people, when I'm doing the damn sound check, actually talk like you do on the show. So don't know why I bother doing the sound checks.
That's why we want to make it interesting for you, Dan.
Yeah,
we've got to give you something to do.
Got to mix it up.
I usually do. I try my best to actually get a natural conversation and ignore the fact I'm doing a sound check. Just not this time.
Maybe we should do
this time I was reading.
Maybe we should do check, 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 mic, check, check, check.
There's nothing natural about that. We just have a conversation.
All right, so...
Dan just doesn't tell us when he hits record.
Blah, blah, blah.
Yes.
Stop playing Words with Friends on your phone.
I'm playing goddamn Words with Friends. I'm looking at the show notes. The schnotes.
You should be looking at porn.
Oh, my God. I hate that word.
I know.
I hate it.
I've always hated it.
Yes.
For anyone who's not into podcasting lore, when podcasting was first a thing, all right, it's like 2004, 2005, whatever. We have show notes, okay? Most shows do, and they vary in type. Like, we started doing timestamps. When we first started, we just did narratives of what the show was about and such. And now I'm kind of mixing up a little bit. I'm putting a short narrative at the top. Actually, Ross Payton was suggesting that. I think he's got a good point because he gives people a better idea of what the show's about at a glance. But anyway.
Does anyone actually ever read these?
I don't know. But here's the point. There was a brief fad. Like in 2005, 2006, maybe 2007, to slur that together instead of saying show notes, people would call them schnotes.
Oh.
And I don't know what podcast it was, but there was one podcast that had a great phrase. Schnotes, schnever.
To answer your question, Chad, yeah, a lot of people read them. If you're looking for a specific episode to listen to again for whatever reason, the show notes are your way to search the website for it.
Huh.
If you don't listen to
Search sucks balls, by the way.
True. I'm not just saying for us. I'm saying for every show.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because like a lot of the shows I listen to, some of them are reference about something. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I want to remember how to do what I'm listening to on this PowerShell one.
Mm-hmm.
So I go out to their site and I do a search. Or if you don't listen to every episode of a podcast, the show notes tell you what's on it.
All right, enough meta podcasting.
I just have to remember to go use our search function.
But Dan, if Chad's going to complain about a word that bothers him, I want to just run down my list of words that piss me off.
Oh my!
Starting with jelly. I am sick and tired of seeing the references
you don't like
out
jelly?
There.
I mean, it makes a great sandwich.
For people shortening the word jealous to jelly.
He's more of a Wayne.
It drives me insane.
Yeah. The one
BOGO drives me insane.
The one that makes me want to shoot people is sandwich.
Yeah.
I seriously, it should be a law that it is a threat against person and property of the high. It is treason against the nation. You can execute somebody on the spot if they say or type sandwich.
Well, let me ask
or
you
say
this.
Like a
why
boss.
Is it that makes you so mad? So you cut over me.
Yeah.
That's all right.
Like a boss. That people need to be beaten for saying like a boss.
Like a boss really isn't a thing much anymore, but that's okay. You feel that rage. Me. That rage drives you.
It does.
Fuels you.
So anyway,
don't take away my pain. I need my pain.
We don't normally talk too much about product-oriented stuff on
but we
show.
Got one now.
Yeah, but Chad came across something that I want to say up front. We are not affiliated with people that make this.
It's not even a role-playing game product.
Well, they do mention it can be used for role-playing games.
It can be used for anything.
I'm guessing probably because somebody co-opted it. I don't know. Yeah. We don't know who these people are.
Name's Rory.
Rory. Okay, we found this, and whatever this Rory, he or she, Rory's, you know, it's a androgynous name, but I was about to say it's a bisexual name. But
yes! It is, actually.
It's an ungendered name. I don't know, whatever the right term is. Anyways, the point
being,
though.
It's a trisexual name.
All right, so let's stop teasing this. Chad, go. What have you got there?
So, I have a Kicked in the Dice Bags dice bag.
That's not the part I was interested in.
But I just thought it was irony, this meta irony. So what we're going to do, instead of doing a product review, because product reviews are really frigging boring. Thank you, Tolis and Bim. I'm going to present a little scenario. This really happened. I was running a game and Keith Bird from Kicked in the Dice Bags is sitting there going, no, I was running the game. He's using my example. I'll give Keith credit here in a minute. But I was running a game for Dawn and for Sky. And Dawn has these Rory story dice. She got them from Barnes & Noble where she works. And, you know, she picks up little knickknacks like that all the time.
Most people that want to be writers have these. Sure. I have them at home, too.
Yeah, yeah. And so we have them. And Keith was running a game at Fear the Con, and he used them in a way that I really liked. And so I did something a little different. I'm running a game for Sky and Dawn. And Chris, the mighty Chris, and Daisy had to make a long journey to a neighboring kingdom. The king had been kidnapped, and then they did investigations, and they found out who took him, and it was a neighboring kingdom, and they had to make a long journey. And you know the problem with long journeys is that they're really boring. Nothing happens. I mean, you walk from point A to point B. Unless something happens in the middle, then point B is what happens in the middle. So I wasn't having anything happen in the middle or along the way. I wanted them to get to where they're going. But I didn't just want to say, oh, you're walking and walking and you sing a song and you see a white stag and you try and shoot him and you miss him. And thank you, you know, the Hobbit and all that. I had them roll these. And what we're going to do is we're going to do a little experiment here. Dan, you are playing Gnarl.
Okay.
And Wayne, you are playing Sir William. Pat, you are playing Saren. These are the characters from the Gnarl.
We do have that group back together, don't we?
Yes, the group is back together. And there is some adventure that you guys are on. So you have a very, very long journey to make. And you have all your provisions, and it's just the three of you. There's no extra guards or anything. And you have to get to this place to really bloodily murder the shit out of somebody. Guys, you tell me what happens on the journey, but just don't make it up. I want you to each take three dice from this, my kicked in the dice bags, dice bag. Please do not kick this bag.
Chad has turned dice into a random encounter table.
It's not an encounter. It's
dice are normally used for a random encounter table.
So, yes, but usually,
you do know what a random encounter table is, don't you?
Yes. You roll the dice, and then the numbers point you to the random encounter.
Oh, okay. I've got you.
In this case, it's the dice themselves that are the counter.
No. It's you guys who are making the encounter.
I just wasn't sure why, because it could be all you've heard is us make fun of them. You've never actually seen a random encounter table. Yeah. So.
So I want you each to roll these three dice.
Okay. Let me explain what we're seeing here, because what we're looking at is these are called Rory's story dice.
Correct. Rory's story cubes.
Rory's story cubes.
Yes.
And he has a bunch of different sets of these. There's a basic set, then there's one that's about conflict. There's one that's about, I think, magic or something like that. They're about something a bunch like of different
things, themed. Actions.
And there are physical dice you can buy. Mm-hmm. And then there's also an app for both Android and iPhone where you can get all the different sets of dice. I think the base set plus another one is $1.29, at least on Android. And then each added set's like $1 or something. What you get in each set is 16 dice. Mm-hmm. And on each side of these 16 six-sided dice are just little pictograms. And I'll put a link to this guy's website in the show notes so you can see these for yourselves. But they're little pictograms that don't per se mean anything.
Yeah, by themselves.
It's just kind of like you look at this and how do you interpret this?
Like the ones I'm holding, there's on one there's an apple, there's an airplane, there's the globe, there's a building. On another one, there's a whole bunch of stick figures. And when I say stick figures, think Order of the Stick. Real, I thought the Order of the Stick guy made these, actually, when I first saw them.
So I'm ready to go.
Okay.
All right.
So, Dan, what did you do? Describe what you're doing here.
So my first die picture, to me, it kind of looks like a pencil being snapped in half. The next one is a clock. And then the final one is what appears to be somebody stacking and counting coins, because I think that's fine. Once again,
sure,
interpretation's fine.
And it's up to you to interpret.
So what's occurring is actually we are not on our way to somewhere. We actually had to turn around and go back because Sir William, who's trusted with the purse, was busy boning some chick and left all of our money in the inn, and probably by this point, unless the innkeeper's really honest, it's not even there anymore. And because it's Pat's city, this now could be an issue of rebellion or treason or who knows what, or maybe just a common petty thief. And now we have to walk a really, really long, boring way back for the equivalent of somebody who forgot to turn the oven off.
So how did you draw that story out from those pictures?
All right, so let me work in reverse order. So I see the guy counting change, so I see money. I see the clock, so I think time, we're wasting time. The way I rolled it and turned it, the hands are pointed downward, so to me it just kind of has this draining feeling. And this one that looks like something being broken, Gnarl wants to break his neck.
And see, how Dan did it was very different than how Dawn and Sky did it. And I'll get into that later. You did it very interpretive. For instance, Sky rolled a helmet that had these horns on it, and it was a helmet with horns. He's like, this is a thing that is right there. And it was very direct. Whereas you like the clock, it represents time. It's down, it's draining, it represents time draining. Either one is fine. Either way you go, it's totally interpretive. And you made a story about it. Okay, Pat, you go.
All right. So I've got the three things in front of me. I have a fire.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have what looks like to me is a cave, like the entrance of a cave. And then the last one, it's a six-sided star.
Yeah. Could be a snowflake, a star, the sun, or a molecule.
Anything like that. So with these things, and we're still going with what happened, right? After what Dan had done?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So after we had our little sub-adventure with what Dan had come up with, we make it back on the road again.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're behind schedule, so we're trying to make as much time as we can. So we are traveling by torchlight. And, mm-hmm. whereas usually we would have stopped and, made camp. But again, we're late. So we've got the fire. I'm not using a torch. I'm just using, yeah. I am just a flame because, right.
You're
I'm
made
a wizard.
Of magic.
I'm a wizard, Harry. So
you're a hairy wizard. Yeah,
I'm a hairy wizard. So we're traveling along, and actually late into the night, we finally get to the point where we just can't travel anymore. We're too mm-hmm. tired. And we come across a cave. Mm-hmm. There is a cave there. So we do have some shelter. So
speak for yourself. Dump stat.
Dump stat. I don't get that.
Gnarl had a really high constitution. I don't remember what it was.
Oh, because you're okay. Oh, yeah, you're not tired. You can go all night. Yeah.
Yes. Apparently, Sir William can too. But
anyway,
we digress.
We make camp, and we are using this cave. And inside this cave, there's actually a symbol of the sun is carved into the cave.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something that we haven't ever seen before. It's very old, but this is something that I'm not familiar with. So I'm going
to... And Saren is very old.
Yeah.
So that's
And so I'm familiar with a lot of things, and I've actually never seen the symbol because and it's obvious that this is not just some doodle on the wall. It's put there with purpose. So this is a mystery to me.
And see, I absolutely love that because what happened there is I had nothing. I don't have a cave and weird iconography or anything like that. I don't know anything about that. As the game master, now I have a hook. I could use that. Doesn't necessarily have to be the main plot. It could even be something that I never use.
Hey, you got a snowflake, a flame, and a cave. You could roll that all together until we went into the Temple of Elemental Evil.
Yes,
exactly.
Which is totally where we're going. Never said by anyone.
Yeah, let me do a little bit of side commentary here as we continue through this exercise, which is the cool thing about these is that they're great at two things. One is breaking creative block. If you just can't think of anything, it's great at breaking creative block. I think the second thing it's good for is it kind of pulls you out of your ruts because if you force yourself to find some way to work with the images you have and not to just completely discard them or downplay them, then it's going to pull you a little bit out of your ruts because of the fact that these are not necessarily things you normally think of. Now, I'm going to reroll mine, sorry to know what I rolled, but I'm going to use this as an example of character creation. So I'm just going to reroll these three. Okay, so somebody name a game setting for me.
Deadlands.
Okay, Deadlands. All right, so what I rolled
I was actually going to say Shadowrun.
So I rolled a light bulb.
Uh-huh.
I rolled someone dancing, and I rolled what appears to be a butterfly being caught by a net. My character, I look at this light bulb, you tell me Deadlands, I see light bulbs, Deadlands, I immediately think Thomas Edison sort of thing,
Crazy inventor guy.
So my character is going to be a crazy inventor. And I've actually, to the best of my recollection, never played a crazy tinkerer type ever in my gaming career.
Interesting.
So I'm going to play a tinkerer, and the tinkerer works specifically with electricity. And one of his inventions involved the improvement of the player piano. And while he was at a high-end party demonstrating his improvement of the player piano, we'll move him east, we'll get out of the west a little bit here, now going to the butterfly with the net, somebody became so infatuated with him and his work that they have captured him and now want to use him basically as a permanent form of life improvement entertainment. They want to kind of add him to their household staff as a pseudo...
Kind of like Misery by Stephen King.
Yes, something like that. I mean, maybe not quite so psychotic. Quite, it's a little bit less dark than that, but at the same time, he's not really... He's not a slave, but he's not free to go.
Right.
And so that's
he's
where...
He's being very well paid to not be allowed to leave.
And so that's where the game would start with my character. Yeah, you could use this in writing. I won't keep doing this, but you could use this if you're writing a game, if you're writing a piece of fiction, if you're designing an NPC. There are so many ways you can use this. So do you want to go to Wayne now?
Yeah, Wayne. Okay, right. so this has happened.
Sir William is watching as Saren is looking at this symbol, and he doesn't know what it is either. And that kind of bothers him, but Saren seems to think it's pretty important. So he cuts a piece of paper out of one of his books, sticks it up on the wall, makes a rubbing of it, folds it up, and then tells everyone, okay, well, it's morning, it's time, we need to be going back on the road. And he's leading the way to the city because no one in the group has traveled more than Sir William. No one knows how to read a map better than Sir William, just ask him.
No one knows where all the best bars are except Sir William.
Again, just ask him. So he leads the way, and off in the distance, he sees a field, and there's a game being played. And he stops the group. He's like, we're here. That game is Carnuckleball. It is only played in this land. Mm-hmm. And he goes on and explains the rules of the game. And he's like, I know we've reached the borders because that is unique to this land. We are only about an hour away from our goal.
Interesting.
And my
dice, how'd you get that? Yeah,
I had a piece of paper being cut. That was him ripping the page out of his book and doing the rubbing. I have a map, which is him leading the way. And I have a baseball bouncing against the ground, which was the game they saw out there, which wasn't baseball. It was whatever I said.
Carnuckleball.
Carnuckleball.
Yes.
Only played in Febtober.
That's right.
Febtoba.
Febtoba. God, I miss Febtoba. So,
in the land of Eastern Westphalia.
That's right. So anyway, this is what I did with Sky and Dawn, because they had this long journey and it went exactly like how you guys did it. You know, it's totally different stories and things that happen, but it was the same thought process, same logic behind it. Now, what was really cool was later on, because we had these on the table now, and we did an adventure, we talked to people, we did the role-playing, they beat some people up, and yada, 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 and the game went on. Well, it got to a point where, okay, they're in the foreign land. We did not role-play out the travel. Them telling the story from their story cubes was the travel to the foreign land. We start the game in the foreign land where we start the role-playing and everything is normal. So the time goes on, and then they have to camp for the night. They're trying to get to this tower where they've figured out that the king is being held by this evil necromantic wizard. It's a dangerous wood, foreign land, all this crazy stuff's going on. We're going to set up watches. You know, I kind of actually want to introduce that concept to Sky. I don't know. It's tradition. Some traditions, right, just the experience, right? So anyway, we're setting up watches, and
did he cast Wyvern Watch or
no? Okay. No, my character, the wizard, went to. So they really take care of my wizard because he's a really old guy, and they protect him, which pushes him out of combat and out of action, so they can shine. No, the guy who would do that went to sleep pretty early on with a muffin. They gave him a muffin, too, because they're really nice. I had him set up watches, and I had Dawn go first. And instead of thinking, oh, you know, I'm just going to have some goblins attack them or something like that, I'm like, Dawn, roll 3 story cubes, and you tell me what happens during your watch. And she does, and she comes up with some interesting stuff, you know, creatures. And I don't exactly remember what she had said, but it was interesting and touch. And then I had Sky roll it. And Sky rolled, he rolled a building, and he rolled a helmet, which was the helmet I was talking about earlier. It's like this Viking helmet with these horns and stuff on it. And something else. I don't remember what the other thing was. And he said, what happens at night is I find a dungeon. And in this dungeon is this helmet. And he holds up the die, he's pointing to it. This helmet is in there, and I'm like, whoa, 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 slow down here. Okay, there is a dungeon out there. We'll say it's a tomb. We'll just say it's one room underground. And you find it. Oh, it's a cave. That was it. It was a cave, and just underground, and that's fine. And I'm like, okay, Sky, Billingsworth is asleep, and Daisy's asleep, and you're guarding them. What do you do during your watch? I go to the dungeon.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, you go to the dungeon.
Solo that bitch.
That's right.
So he's playing a thief.
He's playing Chris, the blacksmith with the crazy-ass dog.
And when you come back, your mom and your dad's characters were slaughtered in their sleep because you weren't watching them.
So yes. Dawn's
which
like...
Which will now give you something to regret and make you an orphan, so now you're ready to make a D&D character.
Yeah. Okay. So Dawn was like, I'm going with him. I'm a light sleeper. I'm like, okay. And so so suddenly I have to make this whole thing. We're in a land filled with skeletons. And that was kind of all I had, right? Because I have more on the bad guy, but nothing on the land. And so we're in a land of skeletons. I'm like thinking about this. Like, well, what does that mean?
Man, it's horned helmet, land full of skeletons. For me, this just turned into a tomb from Skyrim.
Well, yeah, right? Oh, yeah, totally. It's basically this society that's built on this dead society. The real human beings were here and they died somehow. And anyway... So he goes in there and we do this great little adventure about it. And I totally pull a Conan, right? Because he goes into this tomb and there's this skeleton and he's on this throne and he's got this sword, which Sky doesn't care because he's got a flaming axe that he's always pulling out and he just loves it. But the guy has this helmet. This guy's like, I take the helmet. And I'm like, I'm going to get him. I'm going to get him. I'm like, well, what do you do with the helmet? He's like, oh, I put it on. And Don's like, and I'm like, do you put it on? It's like, oh yeah. And Don's like, and he puts it on and I'm like, you put it on and suddenly you can see in the dark and your eyes are glowing red. And he's like, oh, that's so cool. I can see in the dark. And I'm like, but as you noticed, as you're putting it on, there are runes etched on the inside and you hear something. He's like, what do I hear? Hey, hey, you, hey, buddy. Go do this thing. Go do this. Because he's like, well, who's saying that? And Don's like, does my character hear it? You don't hear a thing. Chris is talking to himself. You hear, what? What? Who is that? That's all you hear. And it's like, hey, buddy. And so the helmet is possessed with a spirit of this dead king that is whispering to Sky, and only he can hear it to try and get him to do things. Sky, being 7, is so damn righteous that it isn't even a temptation. Right? He's like, I'm not doing that. That's just wrong. Why would I do that? Chris is a good guy. And I'm like, okay. But he's like, well, I take the helmet off. Like, you go to take the helmet off. You can't. It's stuck. Like, I try really hard, really strong, and you can't take it off. And Dawn's
to find the most powerful force in all the lands to remove it. Go look for your dog.
That's right.
Yes.
Your dog will cut your head off.
You'll find your dog atop a mountain, but he has the answer.
He does. So
the spirits of 1,000 deers cry out to him.
And he says no.
But he whispers back, no.
And Dawn runs through the D&D thing. You know,
before is an abattoir filled with retarded deer.
You know, before I say you can't take it off, she's like, Sky, have you tried to take it off? Do you want to take it off? Do you feel really attached to this helmet? And, you know, she's running through the typical stuff because she's been around the block a little bit with D&D. When Sky figures out that he can't take it off, he's like, to that thing that kids do where they just kind of make that noise and they get really frowny. And so I have to, it's like, okay, you know, I wanted to get him. I got him. So I got to play it up a little bit to kind of give him a little something out of it. And it's just like, you know, but it looks really cool and it's got these horns and you can see in the dark and it makes your eyes glow really red. And it's just so awesome. And then I'm like, and it gives you 2 points of armor, and it doesn't, and in my game, armor removes from your stats. I'm like, and it doesn't remove from your stats, and it's pretty cool. And he's like, oh, okay, and well, we'll go back to Billingsworth, and maybe Billingsworth will know how to do it, take it off. And Billingsworth says, we can totally take it off, but we have to go back to the library in the kingdom to do it, but we have to save the king first. And, you know, so we set up that sort of thing. Well, anyway, yeah, that got away from the story dice. But I think that the story dice are really awesome because without that, you know, my idea was just, you know, Goblins Attack of the Night. I wasn't even thinking tomb and king and cursed helmet. And it's like we spent half an hour on this helmet and this tomb and all these questions that they had. And it was really good. It was really awesome.
So, Chad, I don't have story dice that I take to gaming. I do have story dice. They're with my writing stuff.
This is the rest of them.
But
that all you people on the podcast who are listening can see.
I have a collection of weird dice that I just keep in my dice bag.
There's like five collections.
No, this is not all of them.
I was going to say.
That's like one box of them.
Yeah, this is two boxes. You notice one is green and one is sort of blue.
Yeah, all right.
So okay. Anyway, I have a collection of weird dice that I use for various situations. Like I've got my dice that have directions.
Yeah.
So I roll it for random directions.
Yeah, it's an arrow that, yeah. Yep.
I have dice that I got at Fear the Con this year that have friend and foe on them.
Mm-hmm.
So I can, basically I'm rolling people are going to be coming up. How do they see the group as friend or foe? I can roll those real quick.
You know why
I have dice with animals.
You know why I don't like those dice? Because those dice are great. They're really cool for exactly what we're talking about. The problem with those dice, and here's where we're going to get into the product review part. So I apologize in advance, okay? So the reason I don't like the dice that Wayne is talking about.
They're not interpretive.
No, they're printed. They're not carved into the plastic of the dice. They are printed like laminate on top. So when they're in your die, not all of them
are. I say actually all the ones I have are carved in.
Not all of them are, but a lot of dice like that are. And so they're in your dice bag, you roll them, and then after a few months, you can't even read them anymore. But these dice, because Rory's story cubes are paying me a nickel every time I say Rory's story cube, but these dice are actually carved in and painted in and stuff, and they're really good quality.
I rolled an airplane, an explosion next to a ring planet, a question mark.
Oh my God, I would play that game right
now.
What
I come up with is Gnarls bombing Saturn and doesn't know why. But damn it, he can't stop. Or one of Saturn's moons. But anyway, so what I was going to say is, all right, so we look at these.
Mm-hmm. I just found Sky's helmet.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
Yep. Isn't it badass?
All right, so we have these pictograms on here. And obviously, the point of these pictograms is simply to create a free association in your mind to get you thinking in new and creative ways. Mm-hmm. I think these are a great product, but I think you could make something similar of your own.
Yeah.
You could take a pack of 3x5 note cards, write random nouns and verbs on them, go
Absolutely.
With words instead of pictures. If you're an artist or even not an artist,
an Excel spreadsheet.
Clip art.
Yeah.
Go through the PowerPoint library of clip art and just put every one of them onto a printed page and cut them out, shuffle them up, and you would have a similar effect to this. Now, you probably have a lot more that are meeting themed, but, but the point being, you
can
do...
Women smiling with salad.
But the point being that I think these dice are great. I don't know that I intend to get the physical dice. I am definitely going to get the app.
Yeah. I didn't even know there was an app until I pitched the idea for it. It's like, hey, guys, I want to talk about this on the show today. So I linked it, and Dan's like, hey, did you know there's an app? And I'm like, oh, my God, this app is awesome.
Has anyone else done this kind of thing while running a game, just looked around the room and picked out, like, three objects in the room?
I've done that while writing games. I look around the room, or I will watch a movie that is thematically or genre similar, and I'll see something, and I'll just take that one idea out of context and run it in a different direction.
I would say half of the characters I've ever made, whether it be writing or gaming, at least one of their names came from an object that was in the room at the same time I was.
You know where that
the
works
other are
really
just people
well.
I know.
That works really well in Star Wars. Name any object in this room, and I will turn it into a Star Wars name.
Blowhorn.
Blow Haran.
Yep.
I was in a Star Wars game where a guy did that. All his NPCs were named after random. I didn't realize this. We had been playing through the whole game with NPCs named like Sigar. Cigar. I don't remember the rest of them, but he had done that with all of his, and we did not realize it. And
that's what George Lucas did.
And then at one point, he told us this, and Tim and I suddenly started going down the list of NPCs. We're like, oh my gosh, they are all just mispronounced or...
Chewbacca is chewing tobacco. Mon Calamari are the squid people. Calamari are squid.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's tons of them like that. That's absolutely... And that's brilliant. That's brilliant. You know, I do have to give a shout out, one last shout out to Keith Bird of Kicked in the Dice Bags. I had mentioned him earlier. We were at Fear the Con, and it was an after-hours game, and he was running a sci-fi game whose name I forget. But what he did, he brought out the story cubes. And I have had these at home for a long time, and I have actually seen them many times thinking, God, I got to do something with a game like this, but I just don't know what I want to do with them. I see the potential, but I don't have any inspiration. Well, Keith gave me the inspiration because what he did, he said, you know, these are Rory story cubes, and he's like, I do this for every single new game I play. I have everybody roll three dice after we make characters, but before the game starts, and everybody knows each other, but this is something that has happened to you guys before the game starts. These are the adventures you have together. You don't.
So it's your group template.
It's your group template, yeah. And it worked brilliantly. We had, like, I don't know what the pictures were, but basically we were on a ship for 3 months with no human contact other than each other. And there was this thing where we ran out of one kind of food and we tried to make breakfast substituting ingredients, but it turned into pizza. It was like silly, right?
Yeah.
I mean, silly. It was inconsequential. Who cares? But silly, inconsequential things are what friendships are based on.
Yeah.
And so it drew our characters together, and we docked in the station, and we had determined in a great story template fashion that because of the adventures that we had rolled up on the story dice, that we were utterly sick of each other and we never wanted to see each other again. We just had a working professional relationship. We went in to the ship at the beginning of the mission, really great friends, but we were trapped for 3 months together and we were like an old married couple who hates each other now. And that's a great group template.
Well, you know, I think you could also even say something like, look, at the start of the game, I want everyone to roll 3 or 4 of these and just put them to the side.
Yeah.
And you need to spice things up a little bit. They've run out past the material. They've gone in a direction you didn't expect. Or if they stump you, every game master's had that stump moment.
Yeah.
Because they went in some direction you didn't expect, or they succeeded at or failed at some role you thought there was no way this was going to happen. And here's a great way out. Apart from pretending to have to take a dump, which is still a great tactic, by the way. But another way out is you could just say, okay, laugh about it, point to somebody and say, your dice, go.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me what happened as a result of that.
Yeah.
And assuming you trust your players enough not to just power themselves up.
Well, I kill the bad guy and I take his magical sword, see?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But assuming you actually trust them to contribute meaningfully to the story, you've taken the panic off of you by shifting it back on to not panic, maybe, but the burden of carrying the next 30 seconds of story, the next inspiration to somebody else. And that's why I love these things or products like these is because of the fact that one of the things that we hear all the time on our forums, in our emails, in the conversations we have with people, I mean, it really seems like the 80-20 rule, that 20% of the problems are what plague 80% of games. And one of those handful of problems that always seems to come up is block. People start to struggle with inspiration. They've made too many characters. They've written too many games. They got busy at work and didn't have a chance to write the plot at lunch or whatever.
Yeah.
Who knows what it is? But they need ideas and they need them fast. And they're just not coming up with them. You know what? I could use these same things as encounter flashcards. I could use these things as and quick NPC generators. I mean, I could take 3 dice at random and be like, okay, what I just roll here? Question mark, cell phone, and the chaos symbol. Okay, so that's pretty freaky. But I don't know, maybe we're playing...
Am I a devil lawyer? That's how I got
Well,
it.
Or I don't know, let's say we're playing a horror game. There's a guy talking on a phone and he's making no sense and you think he might be talking to something other than the phone. The phone's not even on.
Yeah.
Whatever. You know, they're right there. NPC encounter.
Well, that's what's interesting is how we all took it differently. I look at that and I think there's a virus on the phone that's hacking phones around and someone's behind it, but you don't know who. Yep.
I would play both of those games, by the way.
There you go. There's an NPC encounter. You can do the same thing to make an NPC. On the flip side of this, I have what looks like a key, an alien head, and a flower. And so what I've got here is an alien conspiracy theorist who actually lives and works on a farm. That's his primary profession. But because of his alien conspiracy theories, the key, he's really paranoid. There's no aliens in this game. Who knows what we're playing?
Yeah.
You know, we're playing just some regular everyday people. But this is now you found this paranoid alien conspiracy theorist locked up in his farm compound. You want to get help from him? You're first going to have to convince him.
Yeah.
Chad, I want to try something with you here.
Okay.
You played in my Blood Moon Bards game this year.
Yes.
Now take off your pants.
Yes.
That's
now
for later.
We're going. Somewhere.
So you know that one thing I do is I create crazy magical items that have no basis in the system.
Sure.
I want you to grab 2 dice.
2 dice?
One of them will give an indication of what the item is. The other, the spell it does. Your choice of how you use either one. Because I'm thinking about doing this for this next year at Fear the Con, having the characters roll up there. magic item.
I have a guy here who has a blindfold on and he's feeling the face of another guy. And then and then I have a guy who's building bricks. And actually, what I'm going to do is I'm going to reverse the intention. Mm-hmm. So what the item is not the blindfold and the feeling of the guy. The item is a brick. Big red stone brick. And it is the brick of phrenology. You can tell one fact about any person by rubbing the brick along the bumps of their head. It's not comfortable. It hurts a lot. And you have to close your eyes. So you're going to probably bonk them when you do it. But when you do that, you know one thing about that character.
It wasn't comedy, but I came up with a completely different magical item. It's a mask. And once you've put it on, you are permanently blind and you cannot remove it. But anything you envision will eventually be built.
Hmm. Interesting.
Chad's fits perfectly with the other type of objects.
Yeah. Yours is like scary.
Where I thought he was going with it was it's a brick and it causes blindness when you hit somebody upside the head with it.
When he said brick of phrenology, I thought that was going to be a little more violent than it was.
No, I love it. That is the object. I will. Actually, I'm just going to put that
brick
in the
game. Brick of phrenology. All yours.
And if you throw it and hit somebody in the head with it, you can change a personality trait.
Oh, my God. That's the secret thing about it, is that it works at range. It's a range touch attack. But you don't think of it that way, and you have to figure that out. So I could, like, throw it at Pat sitting across the room, bonk him upside the head, and then I know something about him.
But truth is, if you just hold it in your hand.
Yeah, if I hold it in hand, it works just fine.
What you know is that I'm unconscious.
And now I'm thinking you should run a game at the next Fear of the Con. Mm-hmm. That instead of our fortune cookie rule, where you can use a fortune cookie and read.
Well, let me explain the fortune cookie rule. The fortune cookie rule, this started up in a BattleTech game that I was running. For years, we had the bust of composers sitting out, which is where Beethoven came from.
One's behind
and
you
now. Yeah, I actually bought just Beethoven. I don't have the full set my dad has, but I just bought Beethoven. And if you had Beethoven, it was a free reroll. But we also had the fortune cookie rule. And the way the fortune cookie rule went was whoever bought dinner that night, because keep it easy, we're just rotating who buys dinner. Because you do that, everybody pitch in cash, somebody always gets screwed. So we were just rotating who bought dinner. The rule we had was whoever bought dinner, because a lot of times it's Chinese food, could at any point in the night grab a fortune cookie, hand it to me, and I would just read the fortune.
Yeah.
Now, I would free associate that however I wanted to, but whatever that fortune was would somehow affect the situation. So, like, if the dropship's falling and they're all about to die, and I pull out the fortune cookie and it says, like, a stranger will bring you bright opportunities, turns out the captain they've never met is about to launch the final lifeboat.
Yeah.
For example, go on. That's the fortune cookie rule.
What I'm thinking is you can do this as a game. You're running a game. Someone says, okay, I shoot the guy. You're okay. Roll one Rory story cube. Okay. Free associate that.
It is a person who is knocking over a vase off of a pedestal. It could be something like, yeah, you shoot the guy, you knock his block off. What I would do is
maybe he stumbles into something.
I would say the group interprets that because I don't want to run this game. I'm just sitting here. I want everybody else to do the work for me.
That is your goal when running a game, isn't it? To not have to do it.
Yeah, I got to say, for most people, these are game aids. For Chad,
it could be the whole game.
Yeah, this is a game escape hatch. Wow.
It's a system now.
Yeah,
oh, it's just, Chad.
It's the...
I like Chris's...
D-Chad system, which is Chris a game where the rules are defined by nobody, but everybody but Chad.
Chris was in my Bozeman's Best Police Reports, and he said that I wanted to play in a Chad game for once, and so I signed up for Chad's game, and I still don't think I've played a Chad game. Because I just sat there. I didn't do anything for 3 hours. It was awesome.
No, that's a Chad game.
Yeah, you have played a Chad game, Chris. Yeah.
But a lot of stuff happened. Tons of stuff happened.
Yeah. Yeah. I got to say, that really wasn't too far off. Yeah, he played a game where Chad did very little, and a couple of the players had extremely colorful and outlandish PCs. That's a Chad game. Yeah. So this was actually not the main topic we originally had for tonight, which is good, because every time we push off a topic, that means one more episode before we shut down, because we've run out of things to say on gaming.
Would this count as a product review?
I don't think so. I mean, I don't think you can deny there's an aspect of that in here.
Right. Well, and we did give alternatives.
Right. We gave alternatives. But that's the thing, is I think what these bring out is a concept about inspiration.
Right.
That there are all kinds of tools out there for inspiration. And in the past, we've talked at length about how to use movies, mm-hmm. books, things like that for inspiration, right. internet searches, real individuals or events in history. But this is the first time that I'm sure somebody has pictogram flashcards. Yeah. I'm sure this is not completely original, but this is the first best package yeah. I have seen for encapsulating this idea of rapid or shared creativity.
Yeah.
Where you're stuck, you need to get out of your ruts, whatever it is. Bam. Here's something to help mm-hmm. you. Let's put this under the good old fear the boot chestnut of another tool in the toolbox.
Right.
Do I think Rory Story cubes are the end all be all for fixing your role playing woes? No. Do I think they're awesome? And do I intend to at least buy the virtual versions mm-hmm. for a couple bucks? You better believe so. I yeah. absolutely do.
Well, let's look at something so that we could say this isn't a total product review thing. What are the disadvantages of using those? How can using those cause problems?
I think there's a couple ways. While there may be theoretically approaching infinite interpretations, there are still a finite number of pictograms.
Right.
As you play with people, it's going to be like playing apples to apples or cards against humanity. Eventually, you're going to have seen everything they have to offer and know probably what people are going to do with them. I think that's a disadvantage. I think they can also become a crutch.
Yeah.
That I think the best ideas, even though they take time, are the ones that you create and you refine mm-hmm. to really be a well-crafted story or character. And I think these could be, instead of an escape hatch or a supplement,
right.
people could use these as their meat and potatoes. And I think in the process, actually mm-hmm. dull their own
yeah.
potential.
The novelty of it could wear off, or even not the novelty. It's just like it could become pat. It could become, you know, just whatever. Yes, Pat, you Pat.
I think you're trying to say passe.
Passe. But the thing about it is that it's good for quick hits. It's good for occasional. If you have a game like in the setting up watches and what happens on a watch, I think that was a good idea. It was really great. But if the group that I was running, for whatever reason, has a game session, like they camp once every game session about right. in the middle of the thing, and we do that every single game session.
It's going to get old.
Yeah, it's going to get old and stale. Yeah. They're going to be like, can we just please, for the love of God, sleep through the night so just once?
I really do think that you have to yeah. watch how often you use these. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think there's also the same risk that you have with random encounter tables. This is something that happened outside of what you're currently doing. And for yeah. a Chad GM, that's not a bad thing. He will take whatever happened, and that's now part of the main story, and you're moving on. For a GM that's a very note-heavy GM that has plot within plot within plot, this is a sidebar that you did yes. that was fun. Mm-hmm. It isn't part of what's already there. It may be written in there into future weeks,
right? Yeah,
but that type of GM might have been better off just grabbing something from his future notes yeah. and start doing foreshadowing.
Like the example with Dawn and Sky, where they go into the tomb and it's like, oh, well, that really inspires me to say, let's expand this kingdom where they're at and give me a whole bunch of ideas I can work with and add some flavor. If you're like a notes heavy guy or not really into improv type stuff, and you keep doing that, well, what's going to turn into for you is the side quest that never ends. You know, it's just like, okay, well, we do the story cubes, and you're off doing stuff, and you're going to forget what the hell why were you here in the first place? Yeah, we've saved the fishing village from the kickball champion, and
we save East-West Valia for their Carnuckle game,
mm-hmm.
and
meanwhile,
Febtober, we found the meaning of Febtober.
Yeah. Meanwhile, the princess is getting older and older and older.
That dragon's not going anywhere. He's just getting bored.
Yep.
Check the show notes if you want links on any of the stuff we talked about during the show that requires a link, obviously. Mm-hmm. A link to Rory Story Cubes being the most obvious one.
Mm-hmm.
But beyond that, thank you guys for tuning in. Have a great week and great games, and we will catch you next time.
See ya.
This has been a production of Fear the Boot, copyright 2014. Listeners are free to use this show in any non-commercial endeavor as long as credit is provided to feartheboot.com. You can find previous episodes and other resources at feartheboot.com. Fear the Boot is also a member of the Pulp Gamer Media Network of shows. You can find other great shows in this network at pulpgamer.com.